as I read this article from Politico.
Oh, sorry.
And you just punched me in the face while I was talking here. Let's try this again. Welcome to episode 32 of Black, White, and Blue in the South, a podcast discussing Democratic politics with a Southern flair. I'm Bill Kimmler.
I'm Jamil Brooks.
And we're coming to you from Greenwood, South Carolina, a little red county in a very red state. If you like what you hear, please leave a rating and a review. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet, pour one out for the No Labels Party, who is officially no more. At least, they're no longer seeking a presidential nominee after officially asking everyone and their mother to run under their banner. And keep in mind the poor billionaires that helped fund No Labels. They'll be needing your thoughts and prayers as they've wasted millions of dollars in supporting this no hope effort. Just listen to this.
The No Labels Party is not what it claims to be. Maybe you've heard about this supposed common sense alternative to the two major parties. It sounds great, like Goldilocks avoiding the porridge that's too hot or too cold and picking the one that's just right. But like Goldilocks, it is also a fairy tale. No Labels is a dark money group with far-right donors. The organization has consistently refused to reveal who is financing it. Politico, Mother Jones, and the Lincoln Project have uncovered some of the group's major backers, and they reportedly include Harlan Crow, the right-wing billionaire activist who's been secretly lavishing Justice Clarence Thomas and his family with gifts and vacations likely worth millions. Fossil fuel billionaire Michael Smith, who has also backed a Mitch McConnell super PAC, and the campaign of Virginia's Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin. Florida real estate mogul Alan Keene, a longtime Republican donor who spent at least $135,000 to elect Trump in 2020, as well as many major donors to Ron DeSantis. The Lincoln Project's Rick Wilson alleges that No Labels is, quote, designed to be the vehicle for an ocean of dark GOP money dressed up as moderate do-gooderism.
Let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com. Send us your comments, questions, topic ideas. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Threads, and even Mastodon. We share video clips of our episodes and links to news articles that'll make you more informed. We have a Linktree page that can connect you to everything, so look at those show notes, where we'll have that and links to all material mentioned in today's episode. Hi, Jamil. I said, hi, Jamil. Oh, wait, that's right, she's not here. That voice you heard of hers earlier was a trick of digital editing, as Dr. Brooks is actually recovering from knee surgery at the moment. And as much as I would have loved to have recorded an episode with her on pain meds, she wisely declined the offer, and she should be back up and running, or at least mildly limping, in no time. So today, we're going to do another trick of the entertainment industry and provide you with a best of episode today. Our show has come a long way since our first experimental recording in July of 2023. It took a little while to fall into a routine, a form that is consistent from week to week so that you know what to expect, even if we do cover different topics. One of the patterns we fell into was the, quote, or better yet bit during the beginning of every episode. Like everything else, it was spontaneous, but it struck a funny chord with us so that we continued it with every episode, often with pretty good results. So today, you're going to hear every one of those or better yet clips, except for that one about No Labels that you just heard a few minutes ago. We truly hope you enjoy. Oh God, this is going to be a disaster.
From episode 3, what superpower should a good legislator have?
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating, tell your friends, or write a check for $100,000 made out to save the Democrats in South Carolina, please. You can always drop us a note.
From episode 4, Emergency Podcast, the South Carolina Supreme Court upholds 6-week abortion ban.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating, tell your friends, or write a check out to the McCravey Tissue Fund because he is crying up a storm today, and we'll talk about why. Now, I want to circle back to my opening remark about the John McCravey Tissue Fund.
Okay, I got tissues.
Because I had the pleasure of opening up the newspaper this morning and seeing the following headline in the Index Journal. And the headline is a photo of Representative McCravey, who we've talked about already, with a caption that says, quote, "brought me to tears." So basically, the idea of passing this legislation that's going to ruin lives across the state has him crying tears of joy.
Oh,
so if you see Representative McCravey in the street, please offer the poor man a tissue.
So that got him crying tears of joy, but Emmanuel 9 didn't. Did he shed one? Did he need a tissue for that?
No.
Okay, all right.
From episode 6, why are they so scared of the letters C, R, and T?
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating, share with your friends, follow us online, or better yet, stop sharing Trump's mugshot all over the internet. That ghoulish face is starting to scare the children.
From episode 7, why they messing with our maps?
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating, share with your friends, follow us online, or better yet, organize a Biden boat parade at the lake. You see, there's a certain segment of our community that believes the more boats with flags you got, the better a president you'll be. You can always drop us a note.
From episode 8, live from the OCDP fundraiser picnic.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating, share with your friends, follow us online, or better yet, don't let Lauren Boebert into more public theaters. Obviously, that lady's got some issues to work out, and you don't want her doing it in front of your children. You can always drop us a note at Black.
From episode 9, why do they hate the hate crimes bill?
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating, share with your friends, follow us online, or better yet, get Congressman Jeff Duncan a good divorce lawyer. More on that in a bit, but that man is going to need some help. Otherwise, he's going to lose the shirt off his back and he'll be dressing like John Fetterman at the Capitol. You can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 10, voter fraud and the frauds who are frauding.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating. Tell your friends about it. Follow us on social media, or better yet, get a kindergarten teacher to moderate the next Republican presidential debate.
Oh my gosh.
If they can control a bunch of screaming children, I'm sure one can bring order to this clown show. You got to just listen to this clip from the Wednesday debate. Did you watch it at all?
I did not.
Neither did I, but this clip's going around. I want you to hear what it was like.
Okay.
Let's have a policy debate. Yeah. And the right answer is we need to declare independence from China.
Thank you very
and
much.
I will see that through.
Now, can you imagine watching that for 2 hours?
Where's my rolling eyes sound?
Yes!
I came prepared.
Yes, that's me.
You didn't think I'd have it, did
no.
you? You can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 11, Jamil and Bill's coming out party.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating, tell your friends about us, follow us on social media, or better yet, get Congressman Matt Gaetz a little crown, a scepter, and a cape, because he has become the king of the congressional Republicans, whether you like it or not. You can always drop us a note.
From episode 12,
Why are Republicans eating their young?
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media, or better yet, somebody call social services, because according to Republican King Donald Trump, Republicans are eating their own children.
Oh my gosh.
I am not kidding you. Listen to these words that he spoke last week. Let me play this clip so you can hear it for yourself.
But remember, Republicans eat their young. They really do. They eat their young. Terrible statement, but it's true.
Why does that not sound like... No, Bill. Bill, do you not remember me saying that they will eat their young on one of our recordings?
I don't recall that.
We'll have to go back and listen.
The statement he was trying to make was they eat their own, the way that they turn on each other with this House leadership thing. But no, he didn't say it. He said they eat their young. And not only that, he said it twice. He doubled down on it. You can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 13, why is this episode so dang blang heavy?
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media, or better yet, can someone with connections to Senator John Fetterman get him on our show? If there's one dream guest that I'd like to have, it's this senator from Pennsylvania. This guy says out loud exactly what we think in our head. I'm going to play a clip of a recent appearance of his on Pod Save America, one of my favorite podcasts.
All right, let's go.
For those of you with more sensitive natures, you may want to fast forward 45 seconds and pick it up from there. Here is John Fetterman talking about the chaos in the Republican House as they try to find a new speaker.
I heard you tell a reporter, we were just talking about the speaker race. I heard you tell a reporter this week that House Republicans need to get their act together and decide which dick is going to be speaker.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was like, okay, a couple weeks ago, it was like, okay, it was dick one or dick two.
Well.
And now it's mystery dick. You know, who's it going to be?
We want him on the show.
Jamil, your mama listens to this show, right?
She'll skip that part.
Okay,
she'll skip
good.
That part.
And so I apologize to mama there or anyone else with sensitive ears, but boy, was that an accurate clip from the great senator from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, she'll skip that part. We're good.
You can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 14, speaking loudly against anti-Semitism while baking it into law.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet,
oh gosh,
let's send a condolence letter and some flowers to the campaign of former Vice President Michael Pence, which sadly passed away last week at the age of 8 months. Our thoughts and prayers go out to them and their loved ones who are suffering during this difficult time.
Oh my gosh. You did not just do that.
You can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 15, why is magistrate judge so difficult to pronounce?
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media, or better yet, please send us Christmas gifts wrapped in brand new Nikki Haley gift wrapping paper. What a better way to celebrate the birth of the blessed baby Jesus than with gifts lovingly wrapped with Nikki's name and logo all over it to remind you to love thy neighbor, except for those below the southern border. I kid you not, Nikki Haley is
selling her
campaign-themed wrapping paper.
You are lying.
I am not kidding. You didn't get a text message from Nikki?
She didn't send me that.
No, I did not make that up.
Wow.
You can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 16, good fortune for the rest of your days not guaranteed.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet, this is your favorite part of the show, isn't it?
Yes.
Or better yet.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
Get us the name of Senator Tim Scott's casting agent, who was able to secure for the senator a tall, blonde model to appear as his girlfriend on the last GOP presidential debate. It was effective because it remains the only thing people remember from that snooze fest of an event.
I knew that was going to be it. I knew that.
How
you would
did you
put,
know?
I felt it deep down in my spirit. I said, he is going to use this one. And there it is.
Am I wrong to use it?
No.
No.
No. No.
Gosh.
From episode 17, Bill and Jimmy will get a clue part one.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating, tell your friends about us, follow us on social media, or better yet, somebody please explain to Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace the meaning of the letters TMI.
Boy, howdy.
So what do I mean by that?
My gosh.
I'm going to play a clip of something Nancy Mace said out loud over the summer in public, and then we're going to play a game. So pay attention closely, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to play the clip, and then I'm going to ask you, where did she make this statement? I slightly edited the clip because she kind of gave it away in the middle of her statement. So I edited it out, but I'm going to have you guys guess where she made the statement, and then I'll play the unedited clip. Here we go.
And when I woke up this morning at 7, I was getting picked up at 7:45. Patrick, my fiance, tried to pull me by my waist over this morning in bed. And I was like, no, baby, we don't got time for that this morning. And I got to be on time. And he can wait. I'll see him later tonight. But I was here early.
That is our Congresswoman, Nancy Mace, from District 1 in South Carolina. So the question I pose to you two, where did she make this statement? Was it A, at a prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., B, at a funeral for a relative where she gave the eulogy, C, at a high school in her district when addressing the senior class, or D, at a senior center in her district during a campaign rally?
That's
one of those answers is true. All right, so I'll start with our guest, James Clue. Was it at a prayer breakfast, funeral, high school, or senior center?
It would only make sense that them being Republicans, it would be at a prayer breakfast.
Ooh, interesting theory. Jamil, do you agree or do you have a differing
opinion? That's my selection as well, A.
Well, you'll be surprised. Let us find out with her full statement.
Pulling this together, another year, another standing room only event. And when I woke up this morning at 7, I was getting picked up at 7:45. Patrick, my fiance, tried to pull me by my waist over this morning in bed. And I was like, no, baby, we don't got time for that this morning. I got to get to the prayer breakfast and I got to be on time. And a little TMI.
You are. Absolutely right. It was at a prayer breakfast in front of a bunch of Bible-thumping Republicans.
So many things I could say.
Tripping over each other, showing how devout they are.
So
yes.
Consistent.
Yes.
And Nancy Mace was right up there making that speech.
And she engaged in conversation because she said, what, he can wait? So somebody had to say something to keep the conversation going.
Probably saying, praise the Lord.
From episode 19... Graphic seahorse mating.
If you like what you hear in this episode, and we guarantee that you will, please leave a rating. Tell your friends about us, follow us on social media, or better yet, contribute $10 to the Seahorse Defense Fund, as those cute little weirdos of the sea are under attack from Moms for Liberty. Just listen to this vicious verbal assault that a Moms for Liberty member and leader launched against seahorsey rights.
Seahorses are fascinating. We'd love to learn about seahorses, but the selection of the seahorse seems very deliberate in the fact that it's the male seahorse that births the babies, and the male seahorse that assumes the role of mother. Leading up to that, you have seahorse, graphic seahorse mating.
I am shocked that just because the seahorse family doesn't fit the traditional nuclear family model, that they have stay-at-home seahorse daddies while the seahorse mommies go off to work?
please, 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 won't you please help?
Oh, my God. Like, you can't make this crap up.
They do. They do.
From episode 20, The Assault on Transgender Youth, Part 1.
If you like what you hear in this episode, and we guarantee you will,
yep,
please leave a rating. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media, or better yet, contribute $5 to the Sowers and Reapers Fund, who are mounting a defense for poor old conservative pundit Bill O'Reilly, who supported a Florida book ban and found his books caught up in the very bans he promoted. Ya reap what ya sow. Did you hear that in the news?
No.
You haven't heard that?
How the turntables.
Yeah.
As they say in The Office.
So, yeah, Bill O'Reilly had two books, Killing Jesus and Killing Reagan. I've not read either of those, but they're some sort of history books from his point of view. He's got this whole series of killing and then whatever the subject is, Killing Lincoln. Now he's got Killing Reagan, Killing Jesus, and for some reason, those books have been removed from Florida schools, and he is mad.
Oh, don't get mad now.
You can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 21, The Assault on Transgender Youth, Part 2.
If you like what you hear in this episode, please leave a rating, tell your friends about us, follow us on social media, or better yet, get me a social calendar manager right away, please. Let me tell you a story about last night.
Oh, goodness.
So I shared with you that I got invited to a hoity-toity dinner.
Yeah.
Be held at the Inn on the Square.
Okay.
And it was a high-paid ticket to get in, tux or suit, you know, whatever you have. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go hobnob and meet and greet with the elite.
Okay.
So I show up yesterday. The place is empty. I got all dressed up. I sprayed myself. I got, you know, the pin on and the shoe shine. I'm looking good. The place is empty.
Where is everybody?
Yeah, they'll be showing up 3 weeks from now when the event is actually scheduled. I didn't read the text properly. I thought it was last night. And literally, it's almost a month from now. So...
Well, at least your heart was in the right place. Yeah, right.
This is what happens when you are just going from event to event to event.
Yeah.
And you're just not paying attention. So please, if you want to help a brother out and help me organize my life, man, I am here for you.
Oh, goodness.
From episode 22, Gimme a V for Bill Lardebo, Part 1.
If you like what you hear in this episode, and we can't imagine why you wouldn't, please leave a rating. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet, protect your children from the lewd and crude antics of Bridget Ziegler. You know who she is?
Mm-mm, who is she?
She is the co-founder of Moms for Liberty Nationwide. You know, those lovely moral crusading Karens who want to strip our schools and libraries from even a whiff of anything that smells like LGBTQ? Well, it turns out that Bridget Ziegler has been engaging in a little bit of LGBTQ herself as a recent lawsuit of sexual assault came out against her husband, former Florida State GOP chair.
Oh.
Christian Ziegler.
Oh, my goodness.
You see, there's a woman who filed a complaint. She attested that she engaged in regular threesomes with the Zieglers. And apparently, there's video out there that proves it. So, parents, please, shield your children's eyes and ears from Moms for Liberty, lest they be indoctrinated into that crazy, perverted world.
My goodness.
Gotta love it.
Isn't that the best? You couldn't write that script any better, but you just know that their closet was so full of skeletons that it was all going to come tumbling out, bones and all.
It's like she's stealing thunder from the guy who got caught in the bathroom in Minnesota.
I don't know that one.
So, there was a Republican senator. I can't remember his name for the life of me, but it's even marked on Google Maps as a check-in spot in the bathroom where the senator got caught in Minneapolis airport trying to pick up guys.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. Well, we're off to a good start for this show. You can always drop us a note at Black, White, Blue in the South.
From episode 23, Gimme a V for Bill Lardebo, Part 2.
If you like what you hear in this episode, and really, you don't have a choice, this is high quality content, folks. Please leave a rating, tell your friends about us, follow us on social media, or better yet, just please let Nikki Haley know she's not funny, has never been funny, never will be funny, and no amount of guest appearances on Saturday Night Live are gonna make her cool.
Okay, we have time for one more question, and it's actually for Ambassador Haley.
Curious, what would you say was the main cause of the Civil War? And do you think it starts with an S and ends with a lavery?
Yep, I probably should have said that the first time. And live from New York, it's Saturday night.
You can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 24, the one with sleep-deprived podcast hosts.
If you like what you hear, put that checkbook down. We're not asking for any money to keep this show going, but the least you can do is leave a rating, tell your friends about us, follow us on social media, or better yet, I haven't thought of anything this week.
No way, I thought you had a good one.
I'm hoping that you could step up to the occasion.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. Let me stick to what I know.
Or better yet, send your submission for what I should be better yetting. No, in fact, I'll be honest with you. I completely forgot to fill that part in. I have a dash there.
Really?
It's highlighted on the screen.
But nothing?
And I completely neglected to go back and put in something witty. Or better yet, some wit my way.
You could use the Nikki Haley with none of the above.
Oh, we're going to be talking about Nikki. But I used her last week with her Saturday Night Live appearance.
Oh, God.
Which was just god-awful.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, you can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com. Send us your comments, questions, topic ideas.
From episode 25, My Dad Was a White Slave, and other fun stories.
If you like what you hear in this episode, please leave a rating and a review. Tell your friends about us, follow us on social media, or better yet, don't help bail out 91 times indicted Donald Trump out of his nearly $500 million in judgments against him by buying his new brand of $400 golden sneakers. Have you heard about this yet?
No.
Yesterday, this is breaking news, by the way.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, Donald Trump showed up in Philadelphia at SneakerCon. Here's a man running for the president of the United States, and he's out there stumping a new set of Trump gold sneakers at SneakerCon.
Have you ever seen him in sneakers?
No. No, but let's take a little watch of this video him hawking his wares and see how the audience reacted in Philadelphia.
Oh my God, Philadelphia, don't let me down.
Wow, a lot of emotion. There's a lot of emotion in this room. Thank you. Thank you. So the really nice thing is we have lines, and I want to thank Chase and I want to thank Alan, but we have lines going all around the block. They're going all around this block. They've never seen anything like this one.
Oh, good. That's what I'm saying.
I just want to tell you, you know, I've wanted to do this for a long time. I have some incredible people that work with me.
Anyhow, he got a rowdy chorus of boos as he tried to sell his $400 trash sneakers.
So insulting.
He's got to pay off those fines, those legal judgments somehow.
Well, maybe the GoFundMe that they have will help him.
Right.
From episode 26, This Episode Is Stolen, Part 1.
If you like what you hear in this episode, please leave a rating and a review. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet, somebody get our South Carolina treasurer, Mr. Magoo Curtis Loftus, a pair of strong reading glasses because somehow he didn't know or forgot about $1.8 billion of our money that was sitting in a bank account where it didn't belong, just collecting dust. Instead of his crusade against, quote, woke businesses, maybe he should wake his own sleepyhead up and look at the damn books he was elected to manage.
Just look at his Facebook page. Does his intro say anything about wise investments, managing the state's money, balancing books? No. It only says, quote, "If you're fed up with the woke tyranny, follow this page. I believe in freedom, not oppression." Quote. This is what you get when you chase ideology instead of competency, folks. South Carolina, for how long are you going to stand for this nonsense? When will you look at a man or woman's qualifications rather than nonsensical statements coming out of their mouths that have nothing to do with the qualifications for the position they are running for? Curtis Loftus was unqualified for this job as treasurer from day one. He had been fired from two state jobs previously. He's a conspiracy theorist nut job who has ranted about microchips and toxic vaccines. Well, South Carolina, you voted him into office, and now what? $1.8 billion of forgotten money? There are 5 million residents in our state. That's $360 for every man, woman, and child lost. If someone misplaced $360 of your money, you'd be mad. How about $1.8 billion? Time to resign, Mr. Loftus. Resign and let someone qualified for that job take your spot. You can always drop us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 27, this episode is stolen, part 2.
If you like what you hear in this episode, please leave a rating and a review. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet.
Oh my gosh.
Check your school's bathrooms for kitty litter. Because our state senator, Billy Garrett, here in McCormick and Greenwood, South Carolina, has proof that kids are being allowed to identify as cats and are being accommodated by school staff with kitty litter in school bathrooms. Let's play this clip. You can hear what Billy Garrett testified in a hearing in Columbia just last week.
You're suggesting that some teaching is going on in the school system that's training people?
Yes, I am.
I would defy you to cite me to an example in South Carolina where a child has said that didn't want to do this, but I was taught to do this by my teacher. You've got some example of that?
I've got an example in Greenwood where a young lady was authorized to be a cat or call herself a cat, a feline. And so that was encouraged. I've got proof of that. Even to the point of asking them to put a litter box in the bathroom. So, I mean, that happened in Greenwood County. So,
but that wasn't not something that the school was teaching.
All I can tell you is they were going along with it. I don't know whether they were teaching it or not, but they were going along with it until others stepped in and said no.
All right, Jamil, what do you think about that?
I have so many questions about this individual.
Are you talking about the litter box individual or Senator Billy Garrett?
Well, him too.
Okay.
So, but this is a thing that's always interesting to watch. And I love that you can see the recordings of actually them responding to whatever they're being asked. You knew when they said, "I want you to give me proof," he had nothing. He almost wished he could disappear.
It was evident. You're projecting. I think he sat there confident that he had the proof.
Until somebody said, really?
Well, I'll tell you what happened a couple of days later, and you can find this article in our show notes. It was exposed. Billy Garrett started walking back his statement. You heard him say that he had proof.
He did.
Now he's saying, well, I heard it from a grandmother.
My grandma told me.
Not his grandmother.
I thought he said his grandmother.
No, he said he heard it from a grandmother at a Republican women's meeting in Greenwood. Somebody told him that. So here's the question I have. He was at a transgender medical care hearing, right? And they're trying to ban it. We talked about that for 2 episodes. So now it's in the Senate. And he was at a hearing where many of those same experts were paraded in front of him. We're talking, educators. We're talking pediatricians, medical professionals, counselors, parents, family members. They all came out and testified. Did he listen to any of them?
None.
No. Who did he listen to? A random grandmother who watches Fox News sharing this story, which, by the way, is all over the nation.
Let me just say,
all over the nation, they're saying this.
I'm not even going to put this on his grandmother. I'm now questioning that he ever heard that even at that meeting.
Oh, interesting. You think he made up this grandmother?
I'm going with he made it up. She doesn't even exist. She won't stand behind
that. That is an allegation. And if you're a grandmother listening to our podcast, although I doubt that you're that person, but if you have evidence that this indeed was shared with Billy and he didn't make it up himself from watching Fox News or OAN or whatever's out there, please let us know.
From episode 28, I drove my Chevy to the levee with Sevi, part one.
I must ask that if you like what you hear in this episode, please leave a rating and a review. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet, help us understand Donald Trump's position on reproductive rights.
Ooh, Lord.
You see, he's not pro-choice. He's not pro-life. Apparently, he's anti-birth. Take a listen to this.
Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change.
Oh, my gosh. You are kidding me.
So what do you say, Jamil? Should states make it illegal for babies to be born up until the ninth month out of their mother's wombs?
Yes, if they will turn out like him. Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm going to go with it.
I'm struggling to figure out what he actually meant to say. Was it really that?
You and everybody else in the universe. Let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 29, I drove my Chevy to the levee with Sevi, part two.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating and a review. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet, send Senator Tim Scott a beginner's book on the female reproductive process.
My God.
You see, he sent out a fundraising email which said the following.
If we don't take back the Senate, Dems will pack the courts, give DC statehood, grant abortions up to 52 weeks, and Republicans will never win again.
Now, let's unpack that a bit. Did you catch anything odd about that statement?
Does he know someone who's carried a baby for 52 weeks?
Help me with the math. How many months is that?
Too many for a human. Did he? What? Like, how long do elephants carry babies? I mean, what is he?
Yes, it's out there, all right.
I can't even go with it's a typo. Like,
no, that's intentional.
That's intentional.
That's
52
intentional.
Weeks.
He's saying that Democrats are up for abortion 3 months after birth.
That's what he said.
You watch out. We're coming after your kids.
He said 52 weeks.
From episode 30, I used to work beside it, not at it.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating and a review. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet, somebody send an extra case of disinfectant wipes and jugs of hand sanitizer to Hope Church in Greenville, South Carolina.
What?
Why, you ask?
Yes.
Listen to this.
Progress continues here at this building off of Interstate 385 in Greenville. What was once a strip club will soon be quite the opposite.
Hope Church bought the old Platinum Plus building on Frontage Road between Haywood and Roper Mountain
Shut
Road
up.
In November of 2022.
They brought Platinum Plus.
Kind of glow like it used to.
Pastor Rich Butler says Hope Church has been in the upstate for 35 years in both Spartanburg and Simpsonville. But he says it was time for a third location and time to rewrite a story of hope.
This place used to be notorious for heartache and tearing families apart. In fact, Greenville has a rich history of churches that do great work under the name of Jesus. Greenville is a healthy city. It's a safe city. It's a city where families can thrive, except for this location, historically, right in the middle of a beautiful area in East Greenville, there was this bruise on our community, and we feel like God's called us to offer a healing balm in the name of Jesus.
So we wish them well, and I think I'll just leave it at that before I get us into trouble.
Yeah, back away quickly.
Let us know what you think by dropping us a note at Black. First of all, you seem very familiar with Platinum.
I do. I used to work beside it, not oh. at it, but beside it.
I almost had a heart attack there.
Let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com.
From episode 31, Bishop Needs to Be on the Ballot.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating and a review. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet, enroll your children into Senator Katie Britt School of Acting, which will guarantee your young little drama queen will be fast-tracked to the Academy Awards. Are you familiar with Senator Katie Britt?
Yeah.
I don't know her.
Oh.
I need to get to know her.
Did you watch Joe Biden's State of the Union address?
I did. Oh, Katie Britt. Oh, yeah,
that
the response.
Katie
yeah.
Britt.
Oh, yeah, the one that gave the response.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
Stepford Wives. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Let's take a little bit and see
gosh.
And see her acting talents.
Good evening, America. My name is Katie Britt, and I have the honor of serving the people of the great state of Alabama in the United States Senate. Growing up, sweeping the floor at my dad's hardware store and cleaning the bathroom at my mom's dance studio, I never could have imagined what my story would entail. To think about what the American dream can do across just one generation, in just one lifetime, it's truly breathtaking. But right now, the American dream has turned into a nightmare for so many families. The true, unvarnished state of our union begins and ends with this. Our families are hurting. Our country can do better.
You've seen it.
Isn't that incredible? Senator Katie Britt, everybody.
So this might be not be the right movie to say, but you've seen the movie Get Out.
Yep.
Yes. Jordan Peele movie, right?
Yeah.
I heard that analogy on some part.
That's what I see. Yeah, when she do that, I think Get Out. It's like run right now.
Get out.
It's over.
The Saturday Night Live thing was awesome, though, man.
Of course, that standing ovation from all of Hollywood's elite, that went on for 30 minutes, and I had to cut it down for the sake of this show, of course.
Oh, wow. Gosh. I don't know who talked her into that.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Black, White, and Blue in the South. We hope you enjoyed what you heard. Please take a quick minute and leave us a rating and a review of our show. If you do, we promise not to torture you with another best of episode. Promises made on the show should not be construed as actual promises to be kept, and there will in fact be another best of episode next week. If you are a blue dot in a red sea, keep the faith. Keep up the hard work. Change only happens over many years of work and dedication. So let's get to work this election season and be a part of that change we so desperately need.
The end.
The preceding podcast is a product of Big Media and copyright 2024, all rights reserved.